John chapter number 6, if you'll find your place there, the Gospel of John chapter 6. And once you've found your place, if you're able to stand, would you stand with us in honor of the reading of God's Word? We're going to read 3 or 4 verses, and then we'll pray and be seated for the message. But in John chapter 6, I want to look at the end of the chapter. At the end of the chapter there, John 6, in verse number 66, the Bible says this: "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." I watched, and we have a lot of visitors here today, and we have a lot of church members back. It's wonderful. It's pretty full in here this morning. And when the bus church came in a minute ago, I was watching, and I thought, boy, if they were sitting in here, it'd be a jam-packed. And that's without our other drive-in church over there that probably has 30 or 35 in there. You ever thought about, though, how many people have come through the doors of this church? And many that sat and ran a bus route, many that sat and taught a Sunday school class, helped in the nursery, sang on this platform, preached from this platform, aren't even in church today. Not even in the will of God. The Bible says many went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." And I want to preach this morning on this thought: good reasons not to go back. Good reasons not to go back. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless this message? God, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you will fill this place and speak to our hearts. And God, I pray for every Christian in here, Lord, that today you would help us to see that the world has nothing to offer us. It's not worth it to turn back to the world and the ways of the world. And then, Lord, in a crowd this size, there's probably someone here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. If they died right now, they have no clue if they'd been heaven or hell. God, would you convict their heart today? Help them to see that they're a sinner in need of salvation. Help them to know, to recognize the fact that you love them and want them to be born again. And I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. We'll thank you for what you'll do, and we'll ask you to bless again in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Turn with me, if you would. Hold your place there. We're going to come back there in a little while. But if you would turn with me to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. As you read through the Word of God, every once in a while, you come upon a very sad statement. One of those statements I'm going to read for you is in Acts chapter number 26. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul is witnessing to the king, to King Agrippa. He is wanting to see Agrippa trust Christ as his personal Savior, be born again, not have to go to hell when he died. And so he is wrapping up his gospel witness to Agrippa. And he says this, Paul says to Agrippa in Acts 26 and verse number 27, he said, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" He said, "Don't you believe the gospel that was given in the Old Testament? Don't you believe who they preached about, which was the Savior, Jesus Christ?" He said, "Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, and here's one of those sad statements in the Bible, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Hey, can I ask you today, how many times are you going to get to that almost place before you get born again? We came in last night. We flew to Pensacola on Tuesday this week to see Jared, to see Thing, and to let Sarah see his college, and we had planned that back in July, and then the numbskull shows up here 2 weeks ago. But we had bought those tickets and planned that way back in July, and going this week. And when we left Tuesday from Love Field there, our plane finally pushed away from the gate, and you've been on a plane, and they begin to taxi down the kind of one of those side roads out towards the runway, and man, it was looking good, and we were ready to go. And then suddenly I kind of heard a scream, and then suddenly about 5 or 6 people jumped out of their seat. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, it's buckled down, ready to go time. We were about to turn onto the runway. These people jumped out of their seats, and it is right beside us. And what had happened was a little old man In fact, this little old man walked in front of me all the way up the aisle to his seat. He wasn't in our section, but he was just across the aisle there. And this little old man traveling by himself, probably in his late 80s, if not in his 90s, and these stupid masks that they're making you wear on the planes, it's already hot on those planes as it is. And I guess he got in there and just got too hot. And man, he passed out and he was laying over on a lady. She said, "Sir, are you okay? Sir, are you okay?" And fortunately, we had a bunch of stewardesses actually that were kind of catching a ride on our plane. And they all jumped up and they began to holler, "Are there any doctors on the plane? Are there any nurses on the plane?" They couldn't get this man breathing. And thankfully they did. Finally they did. But boy, they turned that plane around. I've never seen him drive a plane so fast back to a gate. Friend, listen, that man was going on a trip. I don't know if he was going to visit someone or leaving home and leaving from visiting and going back home. I don't know what he was doing all alone there, but I know this. When he got on that plane, he thought he was going to finish that journey. He didn't plan on maybe dying on that plane. Now, thank God he didn't, but what if he was sitting in church last Sunday morning and maybe the Spirit of God worked on his heart about his need for salvation and what if he said, "You know, I almost got born again." I'm not joking with you. Yesterday, sitting in Pensacola, Florida, that's where I got the title from, "Good Reasons Not to Go Back." Amen. Anyways, but I was sitting in Pensacola and so we were sitting in the airport waiting on our airlines once again. And I hear this scream and this lady begins to scream. Never experienced stuff like this. And she says, "Help, help, help." This was in the where the gates are and in the terminal there. And "Help, help." And people began to run and I didn't want to get in their business. I tried to stay back. You dingbats with your phones. Everybody suddenly picks up their phones and I start hearing them scream again. "Are there any doctors? Are there any nurses?" And I don't know what happened to this fellow. I don't know if he had about my age. I don't know if he had a mild heart attack. I don't know if he choked on something. He passed out. He hit his head. He's laying on the floor and there are people doing all they could to resuscitate him. Now, thankfully again, they got him and he had to be taken out, of course, by ambulance. But I'm simply saying to you, you never know when your time's going to come. We pulled out of our driveway a couple of days ago, headed up to the college to pick up Jared. And of course, Jenna Kroll was there, and we were able to encourage her. Dad's in the hospital, and we spent some time with her. And boy, we pulled out of our driveway, and I mean, I turned, and I saw it happen. I turned, and right at the stop sign, I heard the screeching of wheels, and I looked up just in time to see one car just T-bone another car. Basically, stay away from me, apparently, because trouble follows me. And all of these people began to jump out of that car and both cars. And it was just a mess. I'm just telling you that we never know. We think, well, what's going to happen is the doctor's going to diagnose us with something and we're going to have 6 months to live. And that's when I'm going to totally get right with God. And we don't know if we're the next one laying on the ground. Someone around us is screaming for nurses and doctors and any kind of help. And friend, listen, one of the saddest statements in the Bible is when King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You're in Luke chapter number 16. In Luke chapter number 16, God allows an interview from hell. God allows, this is not a made up story. The Bible says in Luke 16 and verse 19, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." And without explaining all of that today, this poor man here on earth got to go to heaven when he died. It was not because he was poor. It was because somewhere in his life he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The Bible says the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And again, he did not go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he put his faith in his riches rather than his faith in the Savior, Jesus Christ. "And seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Friend, I don't care what you've read in a magazine. I don't care what you're seeing by some religious channel. We talked about truth last Sunday morning. Friend, listen, hell is still real. Hell is still hot. Hell is still in the Bible. Hell is still a lake of fire. Hell is still a place for the devil and the fallen angels. Hell is still a place for the most vile of humans who die without Christ. But friend, listen, hell is also a place people go straight out of a church pew. Because they got religion, but they never got born again. And here's a sad statement in verse number 23. But Abraham said, son, remember. Son, remember. Now he talks about you got good things and the other guy got bad things and all that. But later on, the man in hell says this to Abraham. He says, please send someone to my family's house. Tell them about Jesus so they could be saved and not have to come to this place of torments. You know what that tells me? This man remembered how to be saved. This man remembered the Jesus that he rejected. And friend, listen, I would hate to know that you had to spend an eternity in hell remembering the day you sat in church and had an opportunity to be born again. And then in our text in John chapter number 6, we see another sad statement. In John chapter 6 in verse number 66, the Bible says this, from that time, many of his disciples, speaking of Christ's disciples, from that time, many of his disciples, his followers, went back and walked no more with him. Many of his disciples went back. How many people do you know that used to walk with God, but now no longer walk with him? They went back to the world. By the way, from the pulpit to the pew, there is not one of us, there is not one of us that couldn't go back to the world. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It said, that'll never be me. Those will never be my children. That'll never be my family. Listen, at our very best and on our very best days, we're still just sinners saved by grace. And we can make those bad choices. And we can make those bad decisions. That's why for so many years now, with Sarah being 21 and Joshua being 17, friend, Miss Audie and I have tried to be as careful as can be about saying the wrong thing or criticizing someone else's children, because friend, listen, you could put a target on your child's back with your critical attitude, and I don't want that, friend, because they've got the devil on them as it is. I want what's best for my kids, and I want what's best for your kids, but any of us could turn back to the world. In John chapter number 6, I believe we see some reminders of how good God has been in our life as children of God. First of all, in the first part of the chapter there, we as born again children of God have experienced God providing what no man could provide. We as children of God have experienced God providing what no man could provide. It's illustrated for us in the first 14 verses. I'm not going to read them all, but you remember the story there of the over 5,000 people that were hungry and God provided for them, right? Remember the story of the little lad who had a lunch and he had some bread and he had some fish. And what did God do there? God took that young boy, that one man's lunch, and a miracle was performed, and most likely over 10,000 people. You believe your Bible, right? If you read the other Gospels, most likely there were men, women, children. Over 10,000 people were fed from a few loaves and a few fishes. And the Bible said that there were fragments that remained. Only God can do that. Can I say to you this morning, no man could provide that meal on that day in that way for that many. And in much the same way, only Christ could provide salvation for a world full of lost sinners. It's not something you could do or I could do. Only Jesus can do. He used that lunch and he illustrated himself in verse number 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And friend, I hope this morning you could say for sure, I have partaken of that bread. I remember the day the Lord saved me. Hey, we as born again children of God have experienced God's providing what no man could provide. Secondly, I see that we as children of God have each lived through experiences in life that only God could have brought us through. Couldn't we testify all day long about what God has done? I see that in verse number 16. The Bible says, and when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. How many times have you been on those stormy seas of life, and you thought you weren't going to make it, and yet God brought you through? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and you know the passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning there in about verse number 7. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 12, 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. How many times have we prayed for God to change some situation in our life? And God did not change that situation. And God said to Paul, he didn't say, all right, I'll do it. You've prayed enough. Your importunity, I'll do it. No, in this situation, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Can I say also there in John chapter number 6, we as God's children have a hope that only God's people get to enjoy. Look at verse number 40. I'm going somewhere with it, so stay with me here by way of introduction. But chapter 6 and verse 40 there in John, the Bible says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6 and verse number 58, Jesus said, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. So God has given something to us that no man can give us, and that's salvation. God is, as Christians, God has brought us through times in our life that only God could have brought us through. If God brings you to Him, God's grace will bring you through it. And then we as Christians, even though we're in a hopeless society, we have a hope that only God's people get to enjoy. And that is the hope of eternal life in heaven with God. The Bible says in Titus 2 and verse 13, we as Christians, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the question is, why? Why do so many who know they've been given the gift of salvation, and over time in their life they've experienced God working in their life in amazing ways, and they know that Jesus could come back at any moment, why do so many go back? The Bible says that from that time, many, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? We've seen folks go back this year in our church. We've seen folks turn back to the world this year. We've seen adults turn back to the world. We've seen teenagers turn back to the world. I can give you some quick answers as to why people turn back to the world. One would be this. They let the flesh get the best of them. We're always going to have fleshly desires. That's part of a Christian's life. We still live in this old flesh. We're waiting, according to Romans 8, we're waiting for the adoption to wit. That is the redemption of our body. This old body still has the same desires that it used to have. Sometimes we let the flesh get the best of us, but I like the alcohol, but I like the cigarettes, but I like the dance halls, but I like to blend in, and I like this outfit. And friend, listen, but it's not about us. It's about proving what is acceptable to God. Amen. Sometimes we just let the flesh get the best of us. Hey, sometimes the answer is that they just allowed Satan to influence them. God told us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And there are times that some allowed Satan to influence them. Another easy answer would be this. Got to be honest with you, as a pastor, you know why some people get out of church? They're too easily offended. They're too easily offended. Well, he got on to me. Well, I didn't like that. Well, they didn't ask me. Well, they didn't let me. Well, they didn't notice what I did. And we get offended over some of the craziest things. Yet the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Can I say also, some people get out of church and out of the will of God and go back to the world because they are simply enticed by others. Come on down to our church, young people. We let you hold hands. Come on down to our church. You'll like the music. It's kind of pop music, but it's got Christian words. We talked about that last Sunday a little bit. That's sensual. That's appealing to the senses. Man, these great hymns of the faith, they appeal to the spirit, the spirit of man, the spiritual side of man. And there are many today that are enticed. My son, if sinners entice thee, the word entice means make broad the mind. People say, you're such a narrow-minded church. Why don't you come on down here? That's just so crazy. In the world we live in today, you don't need your grandma's church. I tell you, we need more of grandma's church. Amen. Another simple answer on why so many sit in church and then suddenly they're gone is they just simply were never really born again. They went out from us because they were not of us. And anytime someone walks away, we wonder why. And by the way, you think, well, my friend left church or these folks left church. I can promise you, I believe I can say this statement as a fact and have two men in here to back me up on this one. There was no one more bothered in the church about somebody leaving than the pastor of that church. Because even though we know there are a list of reasons, it still breaks our heart, and we wonder what could have been done more, just like Christ with Israel. We wonder what we could have said, or what we could have preached, or what we could have counseled. But the simple fact is, we make choices for our life. Truth is, there are many different reasons why people turn back to the world. We can talk about all the whys and the whats all we want. You know what we ought to be doing is we ought to be praying for these people. Not praying, P-R-E-Y, not praying on these people, praying for these people. When someone gets out of church, gets out of the will of God, when it's someone's child, it ought to break your heart too. When it's a family, when it's a couple, you say, well, they got mad at this, or they got mad, it ought to still break your heart because you know where they're headed. And the Bible says in Galatians 6 and verse number 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Man, it could happen to any of us. And don't think, well, I got my kids graduated, we made it. Devil could still get them. I've seen parents whose kids graduated, moved on, and then the parents, after raising their kids right, staying faithful, the parents get out of the will of God. Now, at the end of the day, the question is not, why did they do what they did, but rather, what will you do? Look at John 6 again there in the text. After all of those people had walked away and many had walked away, Jesus asked Peter and the others that were still there the same question that I asked you this morning in verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Teenager, you also going away? Oh, look at your buddy. Look at me. You also going away? I'm here to warn you. I'm here to help you. You'll remember my face 10 years from now. You can mock on all you want and you can start missing church and you can say, my buddy's playing the game. I'm playing the game with him till this thing's over with. Maybe if you're upset at life, maybe you're mad at God. Maybe you don't like the situation you've grown up in, but God wants to bless your life greatly. But he can't bless you if you walk away. Many adults in here today, and maybe you got some buddies pulling you out this way and that way. And every Sunday, it's let's watch the game. And every Sunday, let's get the kids together. And there's always something pulling you away from where you know you ought to be. That's what the devil does. Will you also go away? So this morning, I want to give you good reasons not to go back. Good reasons not to go back. And we'll get out right on time when we normally do. I can give these to you quickly. I didn't eat breakfast this morning, so I'm ready to go to lunch. But I do want to give you good reasons not to go back. You say, preacher, why didn't you eat breakfast? Because I stepped on the scales. After about 6 weeks worth of traveling. Traveling has not been good to me. So, all right, when the scale says, ouch, you know something's messed up, right? In all seriousness, let me give you several things here. Good reasons not to go back. I believe I have four. Number one is this. Reason number one, the Lord Himself. Amen. The Lord Himself. I have a Bible. It's just like this. Same. It's King James Bible, of course, but same publisher, Holman Bible. This one's about worn out now, but I cannot find, even if you take the number on it and buy another one, the pages are off a little bit. They do not make this exact print anymore, but back in 2006, Brother Greg found this for me and bought himself one, and I love it. It's, I guess I've been using it to preach from about 15 years now, and the pages are getting brittle, but any of you that study your Bible know you have notes all over it. You hate to set it down. But before that, I had this exact same Bible my dad preached out of, this exact same publisher and type. He preached out of it at some point, but in 1992, he gave it to me. And that's the Bible I used from 92 to 96. It was already pretty worn out when he gave it to me. Had to correct some of the doctrinal notes that were written in it on the side. But he gave it to me in 92, and then in 96, when I went to A&M. Hey, man, Miss Roach, A&M. A&M, yeah, she's an Alabama fan. We beat them last night. When I went to A&M, and then came back to Bible college, I used a Strong's Concordance, different Bible. Anyhow, but Dad gave me this Bible in 1992. This is the first part of what he wrote in that Bible. In fact, I have it on my calendar for next June, Dad. That'd be 30 years ago that you gave me that Bible. But this is what he wrote in that Bible. I told you reason number one is the Lord Himself, a reason not to go back. He wrote this. He said, son, he wrote some things about my calling, but he said this, son, never give up on the one who gave up so much for you. Amen. So the Christ that died for us, is it too much to ask for us to live for Him? Well, why is that pastor always bothering? All right, if you miss, he knows it. Is it too much to just live for Christ? The God who says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, are we so shallow as Christians as to walk away from Him? The Father who led us in the family, are we really going to walk right out of the church and into the world? I like what Paul said, may this be our cry. In Galatians 6:14, he said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Later to the church of Philippi, he said, for me to live is Christ. You watch families, you watch individuals, you watch couples, and boy, you can always tell when they get over that hump, when they turn that corner, when it's like they are in. Let me encourage you this morning, be in. Good reasons not to go back, the Lord Himself. Number two is this, good reasons not to go back. How about the loss of God's blessings? The loss of God's blessings. You may not think God's been blessing your life, but I believe He has, and I believe if we were honest, we would be able to list what God's done in our life. He's given us our spouse. He's given us our children. He's given us a place to work. He's given all of us relatively good health. He's given us what I believe is a good church and a solid Bible preaching church and a church that fellowships and a church that is a family. He's letting us grow up and live here in America. I know we have our problems in this country today, but I still don't want to live in any other country. And I'm saying to you, I don't want to turn my back on God and lose the blessings of God upon my life. Amen. They say that teenagers, this is true, when a teenager is 18, their brain still hasn't fully developed enough. That part of the brain that reasons and figures out that this is not a good move, that hasn't developed yet. Now, some of you in here are like, you know, yes, that's the But that part, that's why teenagers do dumb stuff. Dude, get this. I'm going to jump off the roof, dude. Watch what I do. I'm going to take out this table. Get it on video, dude. Hey, dummy. Give it time. If you live long enough, that's going to develop a little bit more. And you're going to say, I ain't jumping off this roof. And by the way, we all lived through that same time. But sometimes I wonder, as I deal with some of their 20s and their 30s and their 40s, did it not develop? Do you understand you are about to pay a huge price if you take your family out of the will of God? Do you understand that there's something more important in life than where you get your next paycheck or next promotion? The Bible says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Friend, listen, we need to stay in the Word of God. We need to stay in the will of God. We need the bountiful blessings upon our life. I know they sing that song, but I can say it for sure this morning at 46, nearly 47 years old, nearly 21 full years of pastoring here, God's been good in my life. Do you want God's bountiful blessings in your life, or are you willing to gamble on Satan's cheap imitations? Yep. Right. Well, yeah, preacher, but you know what? I saw online, and I know there was that one family, or I know there was that one kid used to ride the bus, or I know there was that one that used to be in the youth department, and preacher, you look online, they got a brand new truck. And you look online, and I mean, they don't go to church anywhere, but all their house is so, and I'm going to tell you what that is. Can God bless us with those things? Yes. Can the devil give us cheap imitations? Yes. One thing about social media, we can make anything look good for a half a second snapshot. Stand here, wife, and let's smile. And when that picture's done, it could be nothing but arguing and fighting and near divorce and a mess. And friend, listen, I'm driving up here this morning, my F-150, I rented a soccer mom van this week. I knew we'd have our four, and then we'd have Jared five, and then we would have Jenna Kroll was going to hang out with us, and we would have six. And I'm not kidding. I rented a soccer mom van. Some of y'all drive that every day, but I walked up to it. You know how you're trying to find row 12, H12, and we're looking, and I go, there it is. I turn around. Both of my kids are going. I say, you're comfortable, aren't you? But I tell you what, when I got back to Love Field yesterday, I was walking closer and closer to that F-150. My spirit revived. And guess what? The point was, my truck's really dirty right now from the dust out there, probably the air pollution in Dallas. I can go wash that thing, spit shine it, and anyone out of the will of God can spit shine their life enough to put something on Facebook or whatever else, social media. Good reasons not to go back to the Lord himself. Good reasons not to go back to the loss of God's blessings. You say, but I know people that they don't go to church, they don't live for God, but man, they got all that you could ever dream of. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 73. So let me give you point number three, reason not to go back, the latter end. The story has not been told. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2 and verse 24, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. By the way, we can be entangled and get out of it. But entangled again and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. It was Moses who had to be wise enough and have enough discernment in his heart to know that if he turned to a world of sin, the pleasures of sin were only going to be for a season. The prodigal son found that out when he told his dad, give me all that's coming to me. And he went out and he wasted his substance with riotous living, the party life. This is a good life. I got pictures with my buddies. But when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. In other words, where'd those buddies go? Where'd that other couple go that got you out of church? My brother's having a hard time. My older brother's having a tough time right now at his church. They had a church split out in Tyler, and Just a mess, and I haven't talked to him, but he's texted, kind of group texted the family, and I see it enough to know that he's broken hearted, and he says, man, they've all gone there, and all my workers have gone there, and all my people that I love, they've gone over there. And friend, listen, I told him something like this without telling you what I said. I said something like this. I said, listen, I've seen them go all over there before. And if it's of God, it'll continue. If it's of man, it'll become nothing. And I've watched it become nothing. But we're going to follow that crowd instead of following principle. I wish. I don't know what more to do. And I'm not trying to be ugly. But man, I'm getting some faces from some adults and some teenagers this morning. Act like you've never heard preaching like this before. And I'm not trying to offend you. But this is Bible preaching. Amen. Joel Osteen's got it wrong. And Kenneth Copeland's just trying to get your money. I'm from my heart telling you this morning, if you are a born-again child of God, there is nothing out there in the world. I like to hunt. I like to fish. I like to build things. I'm not telling you we live in a cocoon. I'm not telling you this, but I'm telling you, if we think we can balance the world and the life and the sinfulness and get spiritual on Sunday, it's never going to work. Good reasons not to go back. Number one, the Lord himself. Why would we turn back on the Lord? Number two, the loss of God's blessings. Number three, the latter end. First, you listening, young people? First, sin fascinates. Then it assassinates. First, sin thrills. Then it kills. You say, how about a little Bible? I'll give you a little Bible. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. I know I'm concerned. I know my wife is concerned. She's lost girls out of her Sunday school class. Too many. This summer, we talk, we communicate about it. She and I talk about it. I know Brother Trent is burdened. I know Miss Sarah is burdened. She's new to our church, but she's going to have the burden of her husband and talk with her husband. We're burdened about the young people that have walked out of the will of God. You know what you young people need to be doing? You need to be praying for them. Amen. Not playing with them. And yet I'm afraid we're not done yet, Brother Trent. Some of these young people are playing games. They come in every week. They're playing games. They got this little mood. It's like, I'm just waiting for somebody to question me. Why don't you just get your heart thoroughly right with God? Do we have to have a whole week of youth camp for you to just get on your face before God and say, God, I'm not right, and I know I'm not right? You say, preacher, I do that every week, but I go right back. Keep doing it every week. No one said the 10 years were easy. They're not easy at all. Like that Home Depot commercial, you can do it. We can help. Adults, we have no excuse. We have no excuse. I have old friends I went to Wills Point schools with. I have old friends I went to A&M with. I have old friends that I did some things I shouldn't have done. I lived in ways I shouldn't have lived. I don't want to go back to that life. I'm a grown man with a wife and kids and one day grandkids. I cannot afford to lose the blessings of God on my life. Good reasons not to go back. I'll finish. The Lord Himself, the loss of God's blessings, the latter end. Let me give you one more. How about the look? The look. You remember when Peter denied Christ? And you remember what happened with Peter? The Bible says that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And what did Peter do? He went out and wept bitterly. What did he do? He started getting right with God. This is not the point, but can I remind you the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I just throw this out there. There's some of you, and you think you're spiritual. You are a spiritual piece of pie, and you got it all together, and you're always at church. And yet you got such a wicked attitude. You criticize everybody. You're jealous about everything. You're constantly getting in fights online. It's constant gossip. It's coming. I don't know why they did this. I don't know why they did that. You're not anymore right with God than the person staying out of church this morning. Here's the look, though, that ought to concern us. The Bible says in 1 John 2:28, now little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. What about when you see the Savior face to face? Oh, they can mock those of us that stay faithful. They can say what they want online. But one day, if they're truly saved, they will stand face to face with the Savior they turn their back on. By the way, we all will. Good reasons not to turn back. The Lord Himself is a good reason. He saved me. He's blessed my life. He's carried me through some wonderful times. Why would I turn my back on Him? The loss of God's blessings, the latter end, and the look. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Maybe you're here this morning and your body's here. You listening? Your body's here, but you've already checked out. The prodigal son said, I'm out of here. The prodigal son brother was just as much a prodigal. He just stayed home with a bad attitude. And it might just be, the Bible says in Hebrews about those people in Hebrews 11, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Our heart changes first. We'll sit in pews where we're supposed to be, but our heart is out there. Here's what I'd do today. I'd get my heart back close to the Lord, draw me nearer, nearer, nearer. Blessed Lord, I like that little song, and I don't even know if I had the tune exactly right. It says something like this, lost on the mountains of sin and despair, till Jesus in love sought and rescued me there. He saved me from wandering, He gave me release, and He led me in the pathway of blessing and peace. And the chorus goes something like this, and shall I turn back into this world? Oh, no, not I, not I. Shall I turn back into this world? Oh, no, not I. I believe that's a message God had for me to deliver this morning to all of us. Good reasons not to go back. If you say, I'm right where I need to be today, preacher, then hey, let me encourage you, stay humble about it. Maybe you're here today, you say, preacher, I'm here. I'm at church, but yeah, my heart's kind of in the world. Why don't you just get on your face before God today? Ask God to help you. Draw me near, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh unto you. Maybe you're here today, you're like King Agrippa. Boy, I've been so close before to being saved. One day they're going to call for the doctors and the nurses to come see you. Brother Brian Kroll's battling cancer now. And went in with a tumor in his throat. And they wound up keeping him in the hospital. And said, that tumor's growing so quick, we believe it's going to shut your air off. And they did a tracheotomy on him. He didn't think that was going to happen this week. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to say to all of you, this could be our final invitation. Will you also go away?